open to that passage, get your message outline next to it. We're going to look at a few passages this morning, but I want us to start here, and I'm actually going to start with verse 27. So you all know Matthew 11:28, and this has very special meaning to us, all of us, today. But in the first century, when these words were written, they had a very special meaning to the audience that Jesus was speaking to who heard these words for the first time. So look at verse 27, if you will. All things have been committed to me by my Father. This is Jesus speaking first person. No one knows the Son except the Father. And this is the important part. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Now, Jesus is speaking to an audience that is about as far from God as you could be, that understood nothing of the grace and the love of mercy of God, who thought that by salvation, by works, by keeping the law, that they could gain favor with God and ceremonies and rituals. And here is Jesus before the cross. Here is Jesus speaking to them and saying, I know you're tired of religion. I know you're tired of all these things that these religious leaders have been telling you that you can't keep up, you can't maintain. I know you can't keep the law, and now you're worried about your standing with God because of it. And he's saying then in verse 28, this is why he came, then come to me, all of you who are weary of this, who are burdened by this. And he's saying, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, what the Jews were looking for and not finding in Judaism. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, it was a wonderful promise by our Lord to those who were seeking God and loved God and wanted God, but couldn't get there from the process that they were a part of. And so here he is before the cross in a very beautiful way saying to them, now you can have God. It's through me and what I'm about to do. And so now on this side of the cross, because we have grace, we have love, we have God's mercy through his work on the cross, this still speaks to us today in a very special way. And so for the next few Sundays, we're going to be taking a look at Jesus. We're going to focus on Jesus. We're going to spend time with him. We're going to look at some of the core things that I know you all know these verses that he encourages us to do from the pages of Scripture. For example, this morning in the Gospels, he says, come to me. And now these messages I know will be devotional in nature with a lot of application about Jesus and us and our relationship with him. But my hope is that we spend enough time with our Lord and what he asks us of us to do with him until his Spirit becomes more and more a part of us, and we can look through the pages of Scripture and look at ourselves and say, certainly the Spirit of Christ lives in me. Heard a cute story this week. This little girl went to her grandmother's house who'd been a believer all her life, and of course on the hallway wall was a picture, one of the standard pictures of Jesus there, and the little girl was visiting her grandmother. She looked up in the picture. She said, Grandma, Grandma, that man goes to our church too. You see, Jesus does go to this church. Jesus is here. And today, in a very special way, he says to each and every one of you, come to me. In fact, he says it in the Gospels in four different areas. But you know the passage we looked at well. Come to me when you are tired. So when Jesus says in this passage to you and to me, when he says, come to me, first he's specifying those who are tired, those who are weary. Jesus is so awesome because those who need him most, he is giving this promise to. And when you go through the Gospels, you find these wonderful examples of little children coming to Jesus. And what do the disciples do? They're trying to keep them away from Christ. And he's like, no, no, let the children come unto me. And then what else do we see in the Scripture? Not only little children that enjoy coming to Christ and he welcomes, but also big sinners. Little children and big sinners. And Jesus says to all of them, come to me. Isn't it interesting how the sinners were attracted so much to Christ? I wonder how much sinners are attracted to us as believers today. But Jesus wanted them to come with him. Come to him. There was something about coming to him that just beautifully changed these sinners' desperate lives. And so here these sinners are eating, partying, fellowshipping with Jesus. And Jesus says, when you come to me as little children, as big sinners, what he's really saying is, you can trust me. You can trust me. You don't have to do it on your own. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through in life, Jesus still today to you says, just come to me, just trust me. And then next in this passage, he not only says that, but what does he say after come to me? He says, take my yoke upon you. In fact, it says his yoke is easy. Literally in the Greek, that means well-fitting. So it's this yoke, it's this piece of equipment that is so well-fitting that the burden isn't a burden anymore. It's light, and that's what he was saying. The yoke fits us so well when we partner with him, when we journey with him, when we take it at his word and we come to him. And Christ is such a right fit for each and every one of us individually. That's how he comes to us as individuals, that he says that burden becomes light because the yoke is right. And it's interesting when you look at this passage. Look at those words there. Come, take. Words of action, come to me, take from me, involving action. But then look at that next word, learn of me, a process word. So in other words, Jesus says, what I want you to do is I want you to come, that invitation I'm giving to you, come to me, and then I want you to take that yoke. And if you do that and you walk with partner, journey with me, that burden will become light. And as we go through this journey today, or together through this life, he says, I'll be able to teach you things. You will be able to learn of me. Christ says, I will show you things that you've never known before. And so this is the process as we focus on him and his strength and his sovereignty. In this period, he says, I can reveal to you collectively as a church things that he has never revealed before, this lifelong journey of walking with and learning from the Master. So this passage tells us, each and every individual, we must come to Jesus, submit to him before we can learn from him. Okay, so that's the process. And the moment that we submit, we begin to learn. And what does Jesus want to teach us then when we accept that invitation, we come to him, we sit at his feet? Well, he wants to teach us three things. He says it right here. He says he wants to teach us that he is our security, that he is our peace, that he is our strength. And during this time at FCC, Christ is still saying to you today, I'm all you need. Folks, he says, I am all you need. Believe me, we don't need Jesus plus something. Christ still today says, all you need is me. He says, come to me. He says, as you come, I'm going to give you a yoke that will fit you well. And I'm going to teach you incredible, awesome lessons. And now, he says that during this time, all of a sudden, we may have to realize because of things that life throws us or things in the church, whatever it might be, individually, collectively, that there will be times when you have to go beyond yourself for strength. And the good news is, Jesus says to you, and he says to me, he says, hey, First Christian congregation, just come to me. Take my yoke upon you. I'm going to teach you things that you've never known. And so he says, when you become tired, when you become weary, he's still saying, come to me. So shift gears here. Secondly, look, He says, come to me when you are fearful, when you're afraid. See it in your outline there? And number two, you know this passage well. Mark chapter 4, if you want to turn to it. Mark chapter 4, I'm going to begin with verse 35, if you want to read it in your translation. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping. Now notice, here comes the disciples to Jesus. They came to him and woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, get this picture in your mind, because Jesus marveled at this. He sensed that in this moment, the disciples had fear on the inside, that they were worried. And so, why does he ask the question here, why do you still not have faith? They had just been with him through an unbelievable series of miracles. Unbelievable miracles. They had watched him do unbelievable things that only someone from God could do. And so it's kind of like, you know, Jesus is looking at his disciples with this right in mind, and he's saying, you have seen me do so many awesome things, not only in your lives, but in the lives of others as we have ministered together. Why do you still fall so short in this area of faith in the midst of this storm? If I could take care of all of those miracles yesterday and the weeks before, don't you think I can take care of the issues and the problems of today? And I believe what he was really saying to them in the midst of this storm and this boat, he's the one that tells them to get to the boat. He's the one that tells them they're going to go to the other side. The storm doesn't catch Jesus by surprise here. And don't you run into people that they get a storm in their life? You know, it might be individually, it might be collectively as a church, but they get a storm in their life and they think, oh, I must be out of the will of God because this bad thing is happening to me. Well, you don't have to be a believer very long to know. You may be in the middle of the biggest storm in your life and right in the middle of God's will. Don't ever equate being in God's will with a lack of storms in your life. In fact, if you do, God has such a great sense of humor that you may be right in the center of God's will and he will just put you in the midst of a storm. So this is part of Jesus' learning curve for the disciples in this passage. They're in the boat. He knew all about the storm. And what he's trying to tell the disciples here is you can trust me in the storm. It doesn't matter how high the waves are coming. It doesn't matter how strong the winds are blowing. You need not be fearful of the storm. So they had his promise. They're going to go to the other side. Jesus is the one that gets into the boat with them. And the storm is this temporary stopping point or setback, if you will, in this journey. He already had plans for all of them to get to the other side. He stated that very clearly. And he has plans for you. He has plans for us as a church to get to the other side, to get through whatever storms may be going on in your lives and our lives. And when there are problems, please understand that when there's a storm in your life and you may have questions and you may have fears, just like the disciples, I may have questions, I may have fears. Whatever it is that you're in the midst of going through, whatever issues, what Jesus is trying to tell you is that I'm aware, I know what you're going through, and you don't have to sweat it. God's not up in heaven hoping, oh, I hope I can pull this believer through this. Oh, I hope I can pull this church through this. God is not sweating it. God is relaxed, and he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, you can trust me in the middle of the storm because the issue is faith. He says that to with us, that he is at peace, that we can be at peace no matter what the external circumstances may blow and waves and all of the things coming up, the disciples find him asleep in the boat and they say, Lord, don't you care? Of course he cared. He was at peace. The greatest danger in that situation was not the wind, was not the waves, was not the boat swamping. It was the unbelief in the heart of the disciples. That's what amazed Christ. And one of the greatest problems are still always within us and not that which goes on around us. Jesus says, in the midst of the storms in your life, come to me. If you're fearful, come to me. If you're tired, come to me. And then thirdly, Jesus still says to you and I today, when you are hurting, come to me. You know this story. Luke 15, the prodigal son. Don't have to read the passage. The kid leaves home. He takes all his money, takes his possessions. He goes out. He parties. He messes himself up. He loses his money. He loses his friends. He ends up in a pig pen. Saying, what's a nice Jewish boy like me doing in a pig pen like this? So he comes to himself. And when he comes to himself, because of this terrible hurt that he's experiencing, some good things begin to happen. Hurting helps us when it brings us to our senses. When it causes us to change, God can bring pain and hurt into our life. For the good he will bring out of the bad for the end result. Because finally he says, the prodigal son, I've had enough. I have hit bottom. I'm going to go back to my dad's house. And thirdly, hurting helps us, as we learn in this passage, when it moves us to seek God. Remember, the Father represents God in this parable. And so it helps us. And I can tell you right now, that whatever it is we're going through, the answer is Jesus. When we seek him, when we see him, when we let him begin to feed our souls, when we come to him, when we let him minister to us, even during your hurting times in life, you let him bring that sweet, healing spirit to your soul. And Jesus says, come to me when you're tired, come to me when you're fearful, come to me when you are hurting. But there's still another time, he tells you, when you ought to come to Jesus. He says, come to me when we are grateful. When you and I are grateful, we're taught to come to Jesus. Here's the passage. Can turn to it in Luke 17. I'll start with verse 14. You know the story. It's the story of the lepers. There's 10 of them. They're healed. And who comes back to praise our Lord who heals them? One. Luke 17, verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to them, rise and go, your faith has made you well. So what you need to notice in this passage, all 10 had prayed for healing, all 10 were healed. Only one, though, expressed gratitude, and he was a Samaritan. And isn't it true that we are very quick to pray, but sometimes we can be found very slow to praise? And it can just be natural for us as humans. We go through a difficult time. We're so quick at asking God to help us in the midst of this terrible situation, and we pray. But we can sometimes be a little slower than that to give gratitude, to give thanksgiving. So let me ask you this morning, how's your GQ? How's your gratitude quotient? The psalmist was right when he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. This church is a great church. This church is made up of great people. There is all kinds of good stuff for this church that God's got in mind. What I want you to do this week to work on your gratitude quotient, your GQ, is to begin to write down all the things that you're grateful for, all the people in this church that you're grateful for, all the things over the years that you can recall in your spiritual life and journey that God has worked through and blessed you through this church and the people in this church. I am so grateful for all the great things that God has done in this church over the decades. He gets the credit and praise for all the good things, and the last 2.5 years, I take all the blame for all the dumb things. But I am so grateful how there have been so many of you who have touched my life in such a special way. And when I sit and I look back over the last 2.5 years in this beautiful area that we get to call North Carolina and think of all the way that so many of you have touched my life, it brings to mind the fact that Jesus never fails. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever it is that you're going through, you just snuggle up close to Him. You work on your gratitude quotient. You remember all the things He's brought in your life, all the people He's brought into your path. You just snuggle up to precious Jesus. He says to lean on Him, to come to Him, to learn from Him. And there you can find more power and learn more than you've ever dreamed of. He says, why? Because you're learning to lean upon Jesus, which is what He's saying to you and to me. Come unto me, all you that are weary and tired, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father God, whatever it is that this journey of life on this side of life throws, whatever it is that we face individually, whatever, like the events of this last week, all those that face death and utter destruction, whatever it is that we may face collectively as a church, Father, you say, come to me, lean on me, learn from me, partner with me, journey from me. When you're fearful, when you're hurting, whatever it may be, the issue is not what goes on around us. The issue is what is going on inside of us. And it is an issue of faith. But Lord, we say today, we stand here today and we say we trust you because it's a matter of trust. And we don't need anything but you, Jesus. We depend upon you. And we thank you for this beautiful promise that we see in the pages of your word. That still is the invitation for each and every one of us today. For those of us who are wearied and tired, we can come to you. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name.